This lesson is the second part of the spirit of poorness. In the last lesson, we talked about sharing and brotherly love. In this lesson, we talk about a larger component of what the spirit of poorness is, which is being willing to give your entire life over to God, withholding nothing from Him. In other words, your life is not just your own. In this case, you don't merely share or give a portion as you would with the poor, but you give your whole heart unto God. We can then see that being poor in spirit towards God is a much taller order in comparison to being poor in spirit towards your neighbor. So what is the first step to this testimony? You have to sacrifice your desires of the flesh so that your desires are towards God. It's a sacrifice. So it's not going to be easy. It comes with practice, a lot of practice. It comes with the Holy Spirit and with daily studying of the Word, because our minds and bodies are corrupted with sin. But we have to overcome what appeases the flesh, because it's just temporary vanity. We have to be willing to kill and bury the old man and be reborn anew in Christ. And a reference scripture for you is Romans 6, verses 1 to 4. You can read that on your own. To be born again in Christ is to make Him number one in your life. This means that God comes before your spouse, your children, your family, your friends, your jobs, your money, and even your own body. That's so important, I'm going to say it again. This means that God comes before your spouse, your children, your family, your friends, your jobs, your money, and even your own body. I'm going to review just a couple scriptures. You're going to be hearing me turn the pages in the Bible. I'm going to start with Matthew 10, verses 37. It says, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." You see that there? That's what Christ said. Now in Matthew 19:16, and then dropping down 21 to 24, it says this, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." Now let's take it a step further to show how the testimonies and the Ten Commandments connect. When we are poor in spirit, nothing in our lives comes before God. This means we are able to obey the first commandment. What is that first commandment? "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." That's in Exodus 23. Why? A god is an idol that can be described as anything or anyone that you place above the Lord. So the very first testimony and the very first commandment go hand in hand. You see that? All right, let's move on. Now, an opposing force of poor in spirit is covetousness, which is the 10th commandment that the Lord warns us against. And it says, "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's." That's in Exodus 20:17. You see, God would not expect us to do something that he has not showcased himself. Let's think about this. God the Father and Christ embodied the spirit of poorness. How so? Well, Christ is the Father's only begotten Son. They are one. They love each other, and they have a great love for each other that we just can't fully comprehend. The Father, however, did not withhold his Son from us. Instead, he sent his only begotten Son down to the earth to die for us. And a reference scripture is in John 3:16. Christ, who is King of Kings, was made in the flesh as we are, and he was subjected to the same struggles. He felt pain, sorrow, anger, and fear just as we do. Yet he did not sin, leaving an example for us all. A reference scripture is 1 Peter 2, 21-22. Christ, as we know, suffered a horrific and miserable death. And before he died, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He said these words in pain and in suffering. The Father knew all this and was a witness to all this. Yet the Father did this great work for us, sparing not even Christ's life so that his children could be saved. You see, the entire throne of God gives just so much to us. Everything we have in life, we owe to God. Therefore, we must give our all unto them. Now, recall at the beginning of this class, I stated that God spoke of this testimony first. You remember that? And this wasn't a coincidence. Why? Being willing to give your entire life to God is the very first step you have to make before picking up your cross to walk. If you are not able to give your all to God, how can you show mercy? How can you show peace, meekness, or any of the other testimonies? You won't hunger and thirst for the word. You certainly won't be pure in heart because your priorities are elsewhere. If you cannot make that first initial commitment, everything will fall to pieces and you will not be successful in the law. Remember that each testimony is a binding agreement between us and God. Christ has promised us the kingdom of heaven, that of eternal life and joy if we obey him. We can't just merely read the testimonies. They have to be written upon our hearts. So we want to put the spirit of poorness on display in our lives, that God may be our first priority day in and day out. And I'm going to end with this scripture in James 2:5. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love them, love him? This is Liz Tunstall. Thank you for listening.